This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
And I'm David Hyde. Ross, I got a quiz for you. Seattle Magazine named her one of 2013's most influential people. She tweets to 12,000 followers about football, the holidays, trouble at work. She likes dirt. She dislikes sunlight. Can you guess?
I followed this one. Bertha. She followed me back.
Exactly. The deep bore tunnel that's currently stuck under the city. But why the name Bertha? Why not the HC5000 dirt mover? WashDOT told us earlier. Yeah, that's right. They came up with that naming contest to figure out the name Bertha, but it had to be a she. It had to be a female. Joining us with more perspective on this, on personification and marketing, is Cal McAllister. He's co-founder of the Seattle ad agency Wexley School for Girls. Hi, Cal.
Good afternoon, guys.
So a lot of people already know the story of WashDOT having a naming contest with kids, but you know, Bertha was actually selected by a committee. So from a branding perspective, why would you want to name a drill at all?
Well, it kind of comes down to in the marketing world, it's personification. We like to humanize things. To humanize something gives you a chance to not only have a perception and give it an identity, but it also allows for some forgiveness. So big companies do it all the time. Microsoft does it, Walmart. But if you become more of a person, you're allowed to make mistakes.
So if you're stuck, it's kind of like poor Bertha.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it sounds like, you know, and I've seen tweets with that, basically that same message. I mean, you pull for a person and you say, come on, Bertha, you can dig out of this. But if it was called the Dirt Mover 3000 or whatever, then somebody's going to say, we paid a lot of money for that robot. How come it doesn't work?
And WashDOT came up with this naming contest for kids, which I think seemed like a lot of fun. It had to be, they had certain criteria, had to be creative, connected to Washington state history, couldn't be named after a living person. And earlier, you know, I mentioned that the first criteria was it had to be female. If you're going to personify something, if you're going to humanize something like a drill, why does gender matter? Or why might it matter?
Well, there's a lot of good stories and a lot of good reasons for it, but ships are always women, or almost always women's names, and it kind of comes down to in that regard, sailors needed nurturing. They were out at sea. We refer to Mother Earth for the same reasons, and so female is a good nurturing thing. There's Greek goddesses like Athena. They're also a little bit more mysterious and a little bit more engaging. And if it were a guy, the public might not be quite so forgiving. It's a sexist business, naming.
Cal McAllister's with us. He's co-founder of the Seattle ad agency Wexley School for Girls, and we're talking about Bertha the drill, which is currently stuck under the city, trying to get us where we need to go. Cal, apparently the Bertha is actually named after Seattle's first female mayor, Bertha Knight Landis, and the committee said they liked it, for a number of reasons. But is there something that you could say from a branding perspective about that choice, about the name Bertha itself?
Yeah, Bertha itself has a lot of a brand behind it already that other people have paid to develop. And Callaway, the golf company, released a club called Bertha that was the biggest, baddest club in your bag, and you took it out when you needed big things to happen, when you needed to bring out the big guns. The Howitzer, World War One, the Howitzer was also nicknamed Big Bertha because that's exactly what it was the big gun. So they didn't have to put a lot of energy behind explaining Bertha Knight Landis. Bertha and the energy with that name kind of came inherently.
Because Bertha's tough.
Well, I think we're all pulling for Bertha to be tough and get through whatever's keeping her stuck.
Right.
I think Bertha, as a word, as a name, is big and massive and has strength. And I think that we're forgiving Bertha right now for not moving, knowing that she's going to eventually kick back in just based on the namesake.
Cal, there's some other names that they didn't pick, and I guess in the context of Bertha now being stuck, I'm wondering what your reaction to some of these names is. Aurora Boring Alice.
I think that they're great. I think a naming exercise is a whole lot of fun. I think that's a terrific one. I'm sure the committee, as I said, it wasn't in the room, but I'm sure the committee looked at all the different names that they had and picked the simplest one. That's what we do in marketing, that you didn't need a lot of explanation, but I do like that one in particular.
What about Digfoot? Digfoot.
Like the backs of ships, if it's not a woman, it's often a wordplay because they're easy to remember and they make you smile. And I see why some of those names make it. Bigfoot's a funny one.
The other one, you know, it could have been, they said female. They didn't say personify in the sense that it had to be a human. What about Bambi?
Well, if Bambi got stuck, at least my recollection of what Bambi was before Bambi grew up into a forest, people would say, well, no wonder you named it after a little fawn and it's got to get through giant rocks.
Right. Cal McAllister is with us, co-founder of the Seattle Ad Agency, the Wexley School for Girls. And we're talking about Bertha, currently stuck, still stuck under the city. And I want to get to sort of beyond the name. Bertha also has tweets. I don't know if you've followed any of these. Her first tweets read, "So nice to finally have an identity. Maybe now the folks at the passport agency will take my application." How is Twitter now kind of sort of expanding some of this personification of inanimate objects that you've been telling us about?
Sure. Twitter and social media in general, a name would give something a personality and an introduction, but social media, Twitter specifically, gives an inanimate object a voice. So it's giving an opportunity to start a conversation. That's what Twitter does. It's what Facebook, Instagram, I'm sure her pictures are kind of boring if it's dark down there. But social media allows for an interaction and allows for her to speak in ways that 10 years ago we didn't have. So, you know, she has a profile page up. You mentioned some of her likes and dislikes. And it just continues to add to the humanization and the personification of something that that they really want us to like and pull for.
Just to wrap it up, Cal, you know, we spoke to WatchDot earlier about this, and they told us that when Bertha stopped drilling, people actually got in touch with WatchDot to say, "Is Bertha okay?" And, which seems sort of different than, "How are my tax dollars being spent?" I mean, are we being kind of manipulated here?
The answer to that, as far as I'm concerned, is yes, albeit playfully. It does, you know, to humanize something provides a safety net. It buys a little bit of time. If it was a robot and it was a more aggressive or harsh name with more expectations of accomplishment, I think people would be a little bit more frustrated. But Bertha has bought him some time to figure out what's going on.
All right, Cal, thanks so much.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
He's co-founder of the Seattle Ad Agency, the Wexley School for Girls. You're listening to The Record on KUOW with Ross Reynolds. I'm David Hyde.